B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. It's a football Thursday, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. You know, it's really nice when a Philadelphia team is good. When you know they're good, and you know they're going to be a contender. We all felt that cushion as we come into the season. But when a team is good, it also takes away conversational angles. Now, hear me out here. What do we say about the Eagles? Well, Carson Wentz looks like he's back. Hopefully he stays healthy. DeSean Jackson has given this team a new dimension. The offensive line is great. They've got two tight ends and maybe two of the best in the league. Defensively, the secondary is a little weak, but we can overcome that because the team is so good. They're going to score 35 points a game anyway, so it doesn't matter even if we look at the defense and it's a little weak. No angle. So with that being said, I'd love to just sit here and talk about how good the Eagles are. Now, can we do that, Tyrone? Can we do 4 hours of how good the Eagles are today?
No, and we shouldn't.
Well, but they're good.
Yeah, but that's not the only thing going on.
The Eagles are good. Thank you for calling. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you, but
I always look for the beneath the surface stuff to talk about, to be interested to talk about. The Eagles are almost disarming me because they're good.
But that shouldn't disarm you.
But it does. I mean, it's natural. It's natural that there's a lack of conversational topics when the Eagles are good, because all you can say about them is that they're good.
Now, that secondary is a concern.
It's a concern. Is it a concern enough that you're going to say they're a bad team?
It's a concern enough if they lose on Sunday. And it's something to watch.
If they lose
Sunday, it'll be because of the secondary mainly. And that's a real concern, and I can talk about that.
Maybe. But we almost need that to generate angle conversation. You see what I'm saying here? Like that's an angle now, but it's not really put into play yet. Like, we fear that secondary is not good enough, but we don't really know that they're not good enough. I mean, they could be mediocre all year, and the Eagles are such an offensive juggernaut that it's not going to matter.
That's possible.
It is possible.
That's possible.
So, here's the deal. I'm not feeling very good about this game. Even though I could sit here and say, on paper, the Eagles should win the game, right? There's something that's pulling me back from this game. Now, a good team is going to lose games no matter what, whether they deserve to lose them or not. And that's why we look at the schedule. We pick a number. And I pick 12-4. So somewhere along the line, four of these games are going to be losses. I think this Sunday night might be one of them. Now, why? Well, let's look at it this way. Because I look at things that make sense. And what people are talking about is, there's no way the Atlanta Falcons, with this kind of offensive line, can beat the Eagles' pressure up front. And I go, was I absent last week? Did the Eagles get pressure up front? And not only that, but they lost a starting tackle. So that doesn't make sense to me, that the Eagles would have this overwhelming edge right now in the second game of the year, because there was no frame of reference for it, that this defensive line is going to dominate a weak Atlanta Falcons offensive line. You don't know that's going to happen, do you?
I think that happens. I think they're going to kick that offensive line's butt. Yep.
Here's what makes sense to me. The dynamic of the game. The dynamic of this game is that the Falcons aren't in the Eagles' class, but yet, when you come off a loss and you get your butt kicked in practice to make all these kind of adjustments, and you're playing in front of a home crowd, and it's a Sunday night game, you raise the level of your actual ability. And that's what I'm scared about in this game. Now, rather than X and O it, I know the Eagles have dynamic weapons. I know they've beaten the Falcons before. I know Matt Ryan can throw for 350 yards and still lose a game very easily because he's done it many times. I understand their offensive line is a little weak, and they lost their rookie that they drafted, Lindstrom, which makes them even weaker. But for some reason, I think this game is going to be in the 30s, a major shootout, and that the strength of that guy's leg who kicks for the Atlanta Falcons is going to be the difference. I need you to help me. Help me help me today, the fan base. Because I don't like feeling this way. I don't like going into a Sunday game thinking they're going to lose. And I'm not trying to be some clairvoyant here. It's just the way I feel right now based on the ebb. I always go by the ebb and flow of an NFL season. Falcons get their butt kicked last week. They're supposed to be a decent team. You know, they're kind of in the conversation, not maybe as an NFC champion, but like in a second tier kind of way. So they're not as bad as they showed the first week. And when a team has to correct all those things, they concentrate harder in practice to correct it. And they're buoyed by the fact that it's a big time game at home. So I don't know what to say. Can you help me, Tyrone?
Yeah, the Eagles are better.
I rarely ask you for help. I'm asking you for help today.
Yeah, the Eagles are better.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out better. They also didn't play well enough to where the coaches can't get on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had they covered against against Washington and handled their business, I would be a little bit more worried. But there's a lot of things they didn't do well, especially in that first half,
mm-hmm.
and the defense the entire game. Therefore, the Eagles coaches will be making the same kind of adjustments as the Falcons coaches because they didn't win comfortable enough. Now, they win two games in a row. Now the coaches, I think, will have a tougher time. I think the Eagles have a lot to work on, and that's why they're going to win the game, because they didn't win easy enough. They didn't execute at the level they're capable of executing.
All right, we're going to talk about this, because I need the people to help me today and get me a little more feeling better going into the weekend about the Eagles' chances. Now, we still have another day. Like, Football Friday's tomorrow. So this is the way I felt yesterday. I feel a little bit stronger today on it. I read this story about Joe Banner thing. He does this Q&A every week. And Joe Banner's making football assessments, like X and O football assessments. And the one thing he comes off with is that I think the Falcons are a pretty talented team, but they don't have a good offensive line, especially after losing their first-round pick. And so then the question goes on. He goes, the Falcons are going to play much better than they did last week, and they'll be at home. But in the end, I don't see any way the Falcons' offensive line will keep the Eagles' defensive line from having a huge impact on the game. And I go, well, the Eagles' defensive line didn't have a huge impact on the game against Washington, and they didn't have a good offensive line. So I don't know where the thoughts congeal.
Because you had a bunch of guys who hadn't played in the preseason at all. Mm-hmm. Barnett hadn't played in about 11 months.
Okay. Then
Cox coming off surgery.
They have a new guy that has to start at tackle. Barnett didn't look that great. Graham didn't look that great. Fletcher Cox is Fletcher Cox. But listen, I know they have ability, but I don't know how you can come from one week to the next and say, boy, their defensive line is going to dominate the Atlanta Falcons. Had the Eagles' defensive line played well last week, then I would say that's a pertinent statement.
Yeah, but what you're saying doesn't make any sense at all, Mike.
What do you mean?
You're saying that the Falcons played bad, and you're assuming that even though they played bad, because they're good players, they'll play good. But the Eagles' defensive line, even though they're good players, you're assuming they won't play good.
No,
I'm
not assuming anything. I'm looking at the analysis of it. The analysis of it, to me, is faulty. That the Eagles' defensive line is going to dominate the Falcons' offensive line. I don't get that analysis when last week we saw that the Eagles' defensive line didn't dominate.
But they scored 12 points, and now you have it as a shootout. Based on not anything you saw.
It's a shootout because it's coming off a loss and it's at home. That's the only reason I have it. Again, I don't look at the X and O's as much as I look at the dynamic of the game.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's get to the Phillies. I know you're all cheesed. And this is why I told you a couple weeks ago that I refused to go on the hook. And this is the reason why. You get on the hook, and then they win a couple games, and then you say you're close to getting back on the hook, and then they do what they did last night. And now you come in rip-roaring that the general manager and the whole front office has to be fired because of the Dallas Keuchel appearance last night. All right.
Yes.
Now, I may agree with you, but what I don't do is get involved in topics that I know are not going to happen. At the end of this year, there's not a chance in hell that Klentak and McPhail get fired. They may get a lecture from Middleton, and Kapler may be the guy who gets on the chopping block, depending on how they finish. But I still don't think he's going to go either, because they're still going to finish about 2.5 games out of that final wild card spot. And at 2.5, they can justify keeping everybody. Now, I hear what you're saying about Keuchel, and right now I don't trust this front office. In fact, I think that I could do a better job evaluating players than this front office has done, than Matt Klentak has done. Because I was the one who looked at these pitchers and said they can't pitch, all right, at the start of the year, where Klentak was saying, no, we think they're all three guys. I was the one who was saying sign Keuchel because he's better than anything you have out there. I wasn't the one who wasn't going to the workout. So I hear what you're saying about it, right? So, yes, my judgments on this team would have been better than Matt Klentak's if I was in that position. But I don't get involved in stuff that I know is not going to happen, because all you do with that is get yourself more frustrated. Klentak is going to be back. They're still going to continue this process. If they have another year like they did this year, next year, and he's made some value judgments that were terrible, then he's going to go. But it's not going to be this year.
And I'm fine with that. I am. I'm not a guy that just wants to be firing people. Uh-huh. But my issue with them is I think there's a bit of a lack of humility between McPhail and him. There's a lack of humility. You can't be wrong this often and not be humbled. And if I hear him humbled at the conclusion of the season and recognizing the mistakes that he made, mm-hmm. well, then fine. But if he's talking that same stuff about this is good and we're doing well and we're right on schedule, I can't have that. I cannot have that. You cannot not go to his workout because you so don't need the guy, and then have that guy be 5-0 with a .97 ERA down the stretch for your division rival. Yeah. That can't happen.
Well, you actually didn't have to go to his workout to sign him. You could have made a decision before you even went to a workout that you were going to sign him, because the fact of the matter is, without even watching him work out, he's better than what you have, okay? His track record shows that he's better than what you have. But I needed a guy who can actually make a value judgment on a player's ability. And the thing I worry about with Matt Klentak right now is that he can't do that. That he sees something that nobody else that with a trained baseball mind can possibly see. And he did that with the misjudgments with his starting pitching. And he's done that with backup players that they've run in and out, the Brad Millers and the Sean Rodriguez's of the world. He has made one judgment on a guy who he says can't play. And you know who that is. It's the third baseman. They've looked at the third baseman. They go, he can't play. That's the only time that I at least admire that. Okay? I admire it because he can't. All right, and they finally made the value judgment that the guy can't play at the level we need him to play in the big leagues. Now, why they wouldn't have made that judgment if they're watching the likes of Pivetta and Vince Velasquez and Jared Eichhoff and Zach Eflin, who, by the way, were throw-ins. Their organizations couldn't wait to throw those guys into a trade for nothing. So right away, you should have a red light should go off and go, these guys don't think very much of him. I'll give him a chance. We'll see if we can rebuild Tatum. But we can't be conned into thinking they can actually pitch. And that's the kind of value judgment that this front office apparently is incapable of making.
And I'm supposed to feel good?
Right away, if I'm the general manager and somebody wants to give me Nick Pivetta, I guess something's wrong. But I'll try it. And then I'll watch him. And if I watch him in 2-3 years and he doesn't have any kind of success, well, then I move on right away instead of trying to con the world that he actually can pitch. All right. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in on the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Matt. Oh, it's 2:22 on the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. It's NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm asking you to help me today. Help me. Now, you can do it in a number of ways. You can X and O it. You can do it by hunch. Whatever. I need to go in the leave Friday show and head to a weekend at Penn State feeling comfortable that when I return on Sunday, it's just a matter of a couple hours that I have to kill before I turn on a winning performance. Anyway, 2 o'clock hours brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. It is time to start the Twitter poll, and that's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're a landscaper, new equipment, they always have it in stock. They also, if you want to replace the engine and preserve your older equipment, they have engine replacements in stock. Just visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 300 votes on this one early. Do you blame Matt Klentak for passing up on Dallas Keuchel? 86% say yes, 14% say no.
Who would vote no on that? That quite like what 14% say no. Well, for what reason? They say no.
There's these guys out there that believe that they should. He isn't that good. They weren't going to do anything this year anyway. They weren't going to beat the Dodgers, so he should just wait. There are people with that sentiment. Well, yeah. I don't agree with it.
Somebody said, I get the vibe they are waiting to address pitching this offseason.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's stupid. It wouldn't have cost him anything except money.
Right.
The owner has money. It's not like you're giving up anything to get him. Where are these 14% that would vote no?
They're going
to
call you today at some point.
That's insane. It doesn't even make any sense.
There's these weird people. I guess because the Eagles won the Super Bowl, that we forget that there is an in-between. Like, we agreed that getting to that one-game playoff even would have been better than not getting to it.
You don't even have to take it that far. A, does Keuchel make your rotation better?
Yes.
Yeah. B, do you have to give up anything to get him? No. C, the money, the owner had the money. Yeah. Well, even if it's for 1 year, what do you care? I don't understand that kind of mentality.
They can't beat the Dodgers, so you might as well not even. There are a lot of Phillies fans who think that. You'll hear from them.
What? But it doesn't matter if they can beat the Dodgers or not. The only thing that should matter is, are you making your team better? It's the same rationale with this Harper, the anti-Harper people. Were you making your team better by adding Harper? Was it going to come out of your pocket? Did the owner have the money to do it? What? End of story. Like, I don't get this thinking. Like, you're overthinking. Would Keuchel have made this rotation better? Yeah, he would have. Would he have been Sandy Koufax? No. But at that point, you just want to make your rotation better. How do you argue against that? All right. Natalie, how you doing with the car? I know you're still upset.
Yes.
And we're going to get to the bottom of this today. I'm going to tell you right now, because I'm going to out some people for you.
You don't have to do that.
You're waiting. You're very upset today over this car situation. No one from this company is helping you out. And I'm going to take matters into my own hands,
Mike,
Natalie.
You don't have to do that.
I am, because the only way you do it is you call out specific people and dealerships.
No.
We don't have a choice. And those dealerships happen.
I'm not going to sit here and watch you get emotional over this and, you know, have people run you through the muck.
Well, I just can't. I haven't been able to get straight answers.
Well, that's the point. We'll get straight answers when I start calling some fools out.
Oh, my Lord. Please don't.
I think it's time.
Fine. No,
I agree with you, Mike, completely. It's time. This is going on.
I rarely do this until it gets to an extent like this.
She's upset about it. We can't have this on a Thursday entering football weekend. Mm-hmm. This weekend, you got to do Birds Outsiders, and you're worried about a car? That's not a way to operate. You got to have that thing worked out. That has to be buttoned up.
I've been trying to work it out.
Well, now Mike's going to give you a little help.
Oh.
I did this one other time in my career because I don't like to do it.
You don't have to do it.
I ordered a leather chair once. And here, Bombay and Company. They're out of business now. Remember them? They were at the malls.
Yes. Bombay yes. Company.
Yeah, Bombay Company.
I do remember.
So I ordered this nice leather chair. I still have it. It has an ottoman in front of it, the whole bit. You know, a rustic cabin look.
Okay.
So I order it, and it's like a month and a half goes by, and I don't have it yet. I keep calling to give me the runaround, blah, 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 blah. It's over here. They went to a wrong place, blah, blah, blah. I'm not getting any satisfaction. You're just like, you're not getting any satisfaction. So I finally said, I don't like to do this, but the Bombay Company people are screwing me. 2 days later, the thing arrives at my door.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, I think it's just so complicated, but it's the way that Ford operates. Mm-hmm. You know, I said it yesterday, I was having an electrical issue.
Yes.
My mechanic diagnosed it. Because we just put a new starter in, my mechanic mm-hmm. that I go to. So he said, this is a Ford thing, you have to take it to the dealership. So I take it to the dealership. They said, no, you need a new starter. My mechanic said, Nat, mm-hmm. you bring that back to me. I'll put in a brand new starter because that's not what this problem is.
Uh-huh.
So he goes back, he goes, no, I said it was the same issue. Now, in the meantime, I didn't have time to get my car from my mechanic to the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Ford Roadside Assistance,
right.
And they dropped my car and cracked my bumper.
Yes.
In three places.
Yes. So you're dealing with one particular guy that's giving you the runaround.
Well,
I guarantee if I out the guy, his boss will get up his rear end and you'll get this thing solved.
What it just seems like is they don't want to work together, and they're saying that they can't put the claim in for me, and I have to do this all on my own. But I'm getting no guidance on how to navigate this because now there's two separate issues. There's a rental car involved. No one wants to place the blame, or no one wants to accept the blame. No one wants to. It's just no one wants to actually handle the situation.
You need a life raft.
Yeah.
And the guy is not willing to give it to you, but there's a bigger guy that's going to throw you to life.
The guy has helped me out. He has, but I didn't know that there were things on the back end. You know what I mean? I don't know how to navigate this.
It's like a Seinfeld episode.
It feels like one at this point. They dropped my car.
And he's been the opposite of helpful. I appreciate you being nice, Natalie. He's been the opposite
of helpful.
You
tried to be nice. You don't like to hurt anybody's feelings.
He hasn't been helpful.
I don't care about that part.
I get
her feelings.
Oh, my God.
All right. There's two open lines you want to get in. 610-632-0975. Joe in Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, look, big question I got here.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at Major League Baseball, okay? We're looking at the Phillies. The Phillies are obviously flat.
You got your TV on in the background, bro, because I can hear it. So you got to turn that off.
Yeah, let me
put it on mute.
I got it.
All right.
The Phillies are obviously floundering, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, two wins, two losses. Yeah, one win, mm-hmm. two losses.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I mean, it's up and down.
No, it's not crazy because they're not good enough. They're not good enough to win significant games in a row. I mean, I said that a month ago when they were pursuing this.
They are not good enough.
Unless you're telling me this team can score 6-7 runs a game, which they can, obviously, then they have no chance to win this last spot.
No, and even if they did, they are not going to get past the first round in a wild card game.
Well, it doesn't matter if they get past it because we all know that. It's getting in would have been the crown. You know, just getting in. It's not much to ask, but they're not good enough to do it.
Let me ask you a question. Have you noticed with how much the attendance is down in Major League Baseball?
Yesterday, third game of the Braves series, coming off a win, they get the lowest crowd of the season.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
And if I'm the Middleton and I see that, I go, well, guess what? You know, that's not good. Braves game, third game of the series, coming off a win, 23,000 show up.
Yes, that's crazy. And I saw that with the series with Cincinnati. Cincinnati looked like Miami. It was crazy. The number of empty seats in the stands was crazy. I was just like, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, see, and that's what that tells you is that Philadelphia fans are smarter than you think. All right. Yeah, I sometimes rip them for getting overly cheerful when they're down 7-1 and Rhys Hoskins hits a single. But not showing up for the Braves game after a win is very telling about what the fans think of this team. And so what I'm telling you is at the end of the year, Middleton's going to go, guys, we got to do a better job. But he's not going to have the axe.
And he shouldn't have. First of all, to me, the manager should be 100% safe at this point.
Why?
To me, the manager's gotten him far enough, close enough.
The manager's got to go. Manager's got to go. Of anybody that has to go, the manager has to go.
But look when you look at the groceries.
You got no groceries. You need a fresh scent in that clubhouse. This guy doesn't give you the fresh scent. Enough with this guy. He's got to go.
But what about I'm saying he's the chef. But look at the groceries. You want him to cook with rotten fruit?
They're not rotten.
Somebody else's pitching is rotten. That's rotten pitching you give the guy. you give him bad vegetables.
The guy makes
cucumbers.
The mistake of sending guys out there all the time that have no business being out there.
He does.
They don't play inspired baseball every game. That's the manager's fault. He's got to go.
Well, if my thing is, I can't get rid of the manager and keep the GM and let them pick another manager.
But that's the logical thing that's going to happen. So why are you going down that path?
So I say
the front office are staying. They just got the extension. The manager didn't get an extension. If there's one change that Middleton can make without ruffling more feathers, it's zipping this guy.
I'm bringing them all back, and then I'm zipping all of them. They're linked together. I can't let this GM evaluate a manager.
Hopefully, change a little bit is to zip the manager. You already know you're bringing back the front office. So the one change you can make is the manager. And that's not going to hurt you a little bit if you get rid of the manager. At least it's a change.
I hear you.
All right, let's go to Al in Longcrest. Al, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Al.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Al?
Good talking to you, buddy. I would say I think the Eagles are going to beat Atlanta Sunday. But I was going to throw this at you. It's been bothering me for years. I hate Philadelphia playing Dallas twice a year, the Giants twice a year, New York twice a year. I'd like to keep the division the same. You follow me? I'm going to keep the same division, but only play them once a year, and then every other year you're our own team. But you still have that rivalry.
Why would you only play them once a year? Like what?
Because they dog it some of the games because they're so used to each other.
Who dogs it?
Both teams, either the Giants or Washington, near the end of the season.
And everybody at the end of the season is going to dog it. It has nothing to do with the teams near division.
Not if they're playing different teams.
No, I don't like your idea, bro.
All right, okay.
You got to go home and away with your division and keep that.
Yeah, but here's, let me ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
High school teams don't play each other twice. College don't play each other twice. I can see why the pros did it years ago they didn't have that many teams in the pros. Now they got a lot of teams. I'd like to see some Denver.
College football is different. It's based on revenue and fans, and you bring in certain teams that you can beat. You can't play your league twice. You only have 12 games to play with.
Yeah, well, we only have 16 to play.
Well, I'm saying it like that. What leagues are? What?
All right.
Yeah, I'm not feeling you, bro. What was that about?
I wouldn't change that at all. I like the home and home of the division. I love that.
What is wrong with the home? I don't get it. What is wrong with playing your division twice? Like, why is that no good?
And everybody lost an opponent, so you do play more teams because when they realign. The Eagles don't play Arizona anymore, and everybody shifted around. So, to me, it's perfect as it is. I like Dallas twice, Giants twice, Washington twice. That's proper to me.
Colleges are different because you have 9 league games that you got to play. So, you can't play one team twice.
Right, except for the Big 12 where they end up, they're going to have to. Texas and Oklahoma are going to play each other twice.
And then you're entitled to have 3 bops on your schedule and make money for the other school. It's good. It's good.
You kind of need that.
Yeah.
Because there's no preseason in college, so you got to get these guys ready for the big games.
And how much is Pitt getting to get their ass kicked on Saturday?
Oh, well, Pitt? Not a lot, though.
You know, I love the Pitt people. They complain that they should be on the schedule every year, Penn State schedule every year. Why?
Yeah, I brought that up to you the other day.
Why? Why would that be? Why?
It's a regional rivalry.
Who cares? What does Penn State care about playing Pitt? What are they going to gain by playing Pitt? What is Temple going to gain by playing Villanova? Regional rivalry? No, you got everything to lose and nothing to gain if you play Pitt.
It's a little disrespectful to put Pitt with Nova. That's a little disrespect. That's you being a little elitist there.
When Pitt grows up and becomes a viable program that they were when they cheated their ass off, well, then we'll play them again.
See what
How's
I mean?
That?
I feel like you're holding a grudge.
They're second-class citizens. Come on, man.
But they're not Nova.
I'm not obligated to play second-class citizen because they want to play. Sure they want to play. It's going to help their program more. It's going to help Penn State.
Right, but you guys shouldn't be allowed to replace Pitt with McNeese State
Why not?
Or Southwest Louisiana
State. Every school in the country does that.
Well, if Pitt's such a second-class citizen, play them.
Why do I have to play Pitt?
It's
what's
close.
What's not my advantage?
Logistics is good.
What's Penn State get out of it?
It's close when you're going away.
Okay, what I care
so
about
save
that.
Save some money.
Well, I got a budget to travel. What do I need close? What, am I going to take a couple vans and transport my players to Pittsburgh? What do I care? Save gas money?
Save a few dollars.
Come on.
But you should play them.
Why?
It's a rivalry.
There's no reason. It used to be a rivalry. It's no longer a rivalry. Pitt is down here. Penn State's up here. Ohio State's up here. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't get the impression that I think Penn State's the world beater, because you know I bitch and moan about that they're not up here.
No, you
But they don't have to play Pitt.
See,
they have to play stinking Rutgers in Maryland.
That's in the conference.
Because they're in their conference.
That's in the conference.
Oh, well, there you go.
Maryland might beat you.
Playing Pitt.
I'm rooting for Maryland.
All right, help their program by playing them so they can go out and recruit and go, look, we got Penn State on schedule. Get your own damn integrity. It's going to Phil in Hatfield. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Yo, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Phil?
Hey, I agree with you 100% against Tyrone. Tyrone's having a bad day today.
Well, Tyrone wants to, he's sticking up for the little people.
He don't know nothing about
when it comes to Pitt, I don't need to stick up for the little people. Stay little people for all I care. You know, you want to start cheating again when you got Dan Marino and Tony Dorsett and Hugh Green and all those guys, cheating bastards that they were. They won a national championship by cheating.
Yeah. They should play Temple, though, because when they come down to Temple, all the Penn State fans go to the Temple game down here.
Exactly.
That's money for Temple, too.
Sure it is. So Villanova calls me, I'm Temple. I go, sorry, what do I got the game by playing you? I'm going to lose to an FCS team?
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, guys. The thing I want to agree with you on, too. First of all, I must say hello to Natalie and Tyrone. You guys do a super job.
They do. Fantastic.
And you yourself, you're unbelievable.
Oh, it's so nice.
But one thing, Mike, you're so right about that management of the Phillies, and that manager, Harper should take charge of the team right now. Just take charge.
Who?
Take charge. Harper. Yeah,
what about him? I didn't hear what you said on him.
But he should take charge of the team right now. And they call all the guys in the locker room and say, look, we're going out and do the job.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
No, I understand that.
You can't take guys and tell them that. They all want to do the job.
They're kind of,
it's not like the mental thing that's holding them back. It's like, well, yeah, I don't think there's a great climate, but baseball is, you have to just perform. You don't, it's not like you're holding back performance.
Well, look at the score of the shortstop. He couldn't tie Jimmy Rollins' shoelaces.
Yeah, but he's all right. He's serviceable.
He got 18 errors.
See, the problem is they have too many serviceable guys and not enough difference
makers.
That's
exactly right. That's exactly right. And I agree with Tyrone on one thing. Fire the whole lot. Get rid of the general manager and that.
Fired a whole lot. Yeah. Listen, perfect world. You want to get somebody new in here, chart a different course. Nah, the owner was convinced that this course was okay. And because he did, he gave him an extension. So he's not going to go back on that. He, like several months ago, believed this was the right path. He's not going to go back on that at this point. He's going to give him at least another year.
And that's fine. But to me, I don't trust these guys to evaluate talent, so I can't let them evaluate a manager. I need them all together. And in 1 year from now, I would fire them all. I'm not firing Gabe without firing the GM. That's all I'm saying. Gabe would stay if I'm in charge. If I'm the owner, Gabe stays as long as Klintak stays. When Klintak goes, that's when
Gabe's
got
to go. All right, that's the one change you can make without upsetting the whole apple cart. He has to go. You have to get a new voice in there. You got to get a refresher through that clubhouse. And it ain't Gabe. I'm sorry. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
248. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, I can't help but like look ahead at the Phillies and what they have to do to be a better team next year. It's such an overwhelming task. But like one of the things that I believe they have to do is trade Cesar. But here's the problem. And this like ties into my thought process. First of all, I love Tom McCarthy. I love him. I really like him. I like his style. He's making me crazy with this Cesar.
Why?
He's just making me crazy. It's like he overemphasizes the Cesar.
That bothers me.
It does bother me.
I think you're just like fixated on it. You can't unhear it.
I think he has fun saying Cesar, and so he goes overboard to say Cesar.
Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, I think Cesar sounds good.
It's killing me. All right. To be honest with you. He's got to mix in a Hernandez every now and then. It's killing me. All right, but anyway, I just ranked the order of importance, order of responsibility on a baseball field by position. This is the way and this is the reason why, in a convoluted way, I don't think Cesar has a lot of marketability.
Okay.
All right, so here's the importance on a baseball field goes like this. Pitcher, shortstop, catcher, center fielder.
So defense up the middle.
Right field.
Mm-hmm.
Second base. So it's the sixth most important position. So there's not a lot of market for the sixth most important. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Second base, third base, left field, first base. As far as the responsibility on a baseball field. You agree with that?
Yes.
Would you switch anything up?
No, that makes sense. So then the key is, if you're going to be that second baseman and you're going to be marketable, you have to be an outlier, like hit with a lot of power like Utley did.
If you hit like power like Utley did, you're not going to trade him anyway.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, there's always an outlier, but the outlier is the guy you keep.
Right, and possibly, with the jump that he made, Jetpacks could possibly be an outlier in that spot.
If Jetpacks can be Pedroia, then he's the outlier.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Pedroia was an outlier, too.
Right. I'm saying he's going to get 20 home runs this year playing all over. Mm-hmm. I believe that any human being playing the same spot is more comfortable on offense. And if he can get to 30, if he could, then he's a difference maker. If you can hit 30 home runs at second base.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he actually could because he missed a bunch of games there, and he was playing all over the place. I think Jetpacks possibly could be a 30 home run guy.
Whether you can or not, that's the move you have to make. You have to freshen up the lineup here. And the only way you freshen up and maximize what Scott Kingery is you play him at second base, which means you got to trade Cesar. And I don't know what you get for Cesar. I don't know if you're going to help your team significantly by moving him.
Now that's the thing. His numbers aren't nothing.
He's leading the team in hits.
He doesn't hurt you. He just doesn't help you enough.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because he leads the team in hits. He's got a decent on-base percentage. He's not a great fielder. He's adequate.
Yeah, he's not great.
All right, let's go Christian Jeffersonville. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris. I can't take it anymore. Mix in a last name here and there.
What did he get you? The 86 wins? Is that about it?
Well, I don't know if they get the 86. You think they get the 86?
But for crying out loud, that's what I wasn't even talking about. But yeah, I'm having a tough time gauging this game on Sunday night. I don't like the birds giving that point and a half. You know, I know it opened up at even. I like your thought process, though, of it's going to be in the 30s. So I'm thinking I might head over to Valley Forge Casino and put a little bet on the over. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would seem logical. Here's my biggest fear, because Matt Ryan is no dope, okay? He might not be the elite of the elite, but he's no dope. And so even if the defense, even if he has a weak offensive line, he's going to adjust by going, okay, who's going to cover the middle of the field here? Like, who's going to get? They're playing 15 yards off the wide receivers, and the linebackers can't cover. So, like, that to me is a major advantage for him to get rid of the ball quicker.
I hear you. And that's why I was looking to get your confirmation on that.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to have a different tune. I got to sleep on. I got a couple of things going tonight. I ate a little dinner with the friends tonight. A couple glasses of red. So I'm, driving back, I might have a different feel.
All right. Hey, how come Natalie doesn't have her name on her headphones anymore?
I don't know now. Why? Why not?
Because they're now community headphones.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I was making fun of Nat for having that, so she like succumbed.
I know, but I was love just that.
No, they became community headphones.
Oh, they became community headphones
prior to that.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, because the other ones weren't working, so I gave up mine.
She gave
that's
up.
Why. That's how you ended up with them.
I have them now.
No, not right now, but that day.
I don't know what headphones I'm wearing from day to day.
Well, no, me either.
If you put a Petri dish on these headphones, you'd grow a tree.
I know.
All right.
I've been wearing the same set of headphones since 2005.
They don't move. Every time I come in here, the headphones aren't here. They're moved over there.
No, I bring my own.
He brings his own.
People don't leave anything alone here.
No, I bring my own.
You bring your own?
Yeah, I've been wearing them since 2005. I love them. Wow. And I have my name on the top of them, too.
You know, the saga is that I got the Beats, the fancy Beats with the Sixers. There's Sixers camo Beats.
Oh, yeah.
Those fancy.
And the only way I can wear them is they make the studio wireless.
Is that going to happen?
I officially asked that, an official request several weeks ago. And I don't think they even, like read it.
How are they going to make it wireless?
Frankly.
What you have to do, there's a way to do it, but it's not. I'll escalate it.
Oh, you will?
Yeah. It'll get done by, week two coming up? Week six.
It's like,
get done by week six.
It's like I asked the engineering department for $1 million. It's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll make it wireless. Yeah, I got no chance to wear anything.
Week six.
All right, 610-632-0975. In the meantime, I'm happy with my wire. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.